Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to episode number 31 of Tell Me Your Tales. On this week's podcast, we've got a bit of a follow-up conversation, part two, with Virginia Maloney. It was a bit of a no-brainer to try and get Virginia back on the podcast. She had an amazing run up at the Gold Coast Marathon on the weekend to run 2 hours, 29 minutes and 14 seconds. She took 5 minutes off her personal best and became the ninth fastest female in the history of Australia. Pretty amazing when you think about that, and pretty amazing if you've listened to her first episode and understand the late start and how long she's been around the running scene for. So it was awesome to be able to reach out to Virginia and see if she was keen to do a bit of a unpack of the race, talk us through the nutrition, talk us through the race plan, really get those personal responses to how she was feeling in the race, the pre-race media stuff, and how her life has changed a bit afterwards. I hope this episode brings you some value. I'm a big fan of Virginia's story and kind of that underdog kind of, you know, works full time, got a bit on her plate, hasn't really had everything handed to her. So these are the kind of guests that I want to bring you as much as possible that you can follow along with and I guess relate to a bit in your own personal life. Anyway, if you can, a review on iTunes would be fantastic. We got some great ones the last couple of days, so I really appreciate that. A share on social media or Strava or whatever it is, that would be also really appreciated. I know I bang on about this at the start of every episode, but it really does just make the show get to more people, get a bit more exposure and more people listen. And I think even since Virginia ran on the weekend, her episode's had about 450 new downloads since her race up at the Gold Coast. So it's always good that people share the content, especially when some of the interviewees are doing some amazing things. Hope your week's going well. And yeah, enjoy the weekend. It's Friday night when I'm putting this conversation, this podcast episode together, and I hope that you enjoy it. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your time late. Again.
Oh, no, sorry, I'm late. I don't know why I couldn't sign in. I tried for like 10 minutes and then I was like, oh, well, reset the password.
Yeah, Julian Spence does that every week when we do the Road to Berlin podcast, I think, and I've done it to you before in the past, so I think it's just breaking even. All right. Welcome, Virginia Maloney. I think part two, but I think your life's probably changed quite a bit since last time we spoke.
Yeah, it certainly has. I think, breaking 2 hours 30 in the marathon has been extremely exciting for us. But, things have certainly changed, that's for sure, over the past week.
I can imagine. Looking forward to unpacking it all with you over the next kind of 20 minutes, half an hour or so. So let's start off with kind of, let's go the week before. How did the taper go?
Yeah, we actually headed up to Noosa on the Saturday and took the week off school to sort of just get used to the weather and that sort of thing. Because just that little bit warmer in Queensland, we decided we'd get up there, have a few runs through the national park there in Noosa, and just a couple of light sessions, a different sort of taper to what I'm used to, because it was just so relaxing during the day. We just sort of kept it really simple and the usual sort of thing, eating the plain foods and just ticking all the boxes, really, in terms of getting as fresh as we could for the marathon. So lots of stretching, lots of time on the beach or in the seawater, and we headed down to the Gold Coast on the Thursday, and that's when things probably started to feel a bit more real, that we were going to do a marathon. Checked in with the staff there and quickly got to know some of the other athletes that were going to be running, and the Gold Coast crew put on a fantastic sort of facility for us elite athletes to hang out and just completely relax leading up to the race. So usually, not as much time during the taper week to recover and that sort of thing, because I'm generally still working at school. But it was nice the week leading up just to be really relaxed and get the body right for the big day.
Yeah, right. What did you do, like, running-wise in that last week? Any, like, little sharpening sessions or just jogging through?
So went out on the Sunday and just did the Sunday before and just did 20 kilometres, and then I generally have Mondays off, so we kept that the same, just a bit of a swim and stretch and a little bit of strength work, but not much. Definitely cut that down leading into the marathon. And then Tuesday and Thursday were, sharpening up sessions. So I think there were just some K reps on the Tuesday, and we found a nice straight road pretty much in Noosa to do those, and we did four or five of those. And then Thursday was just some sharpening up of 800s on the grass track that they've got there. So Wednesday was a really cruisy 10K run, and that was the same with Friday. And then we took Saturday off completely. No sort of strides, no shakeout, just a walk in the morning and feed up from there on.
Yeah, ready to go. Hey, you spoke about plain foods. I've got a lot of listeners who, do marathons and aren't really sure what to eat. So what was the kind of diet leading into that marathon on Sunday?
It was an interesting week. So, really, I'm a celiac, so I have to eat gluten-free, which it just sort of meant for me the usual gluten-free bread, banana and peanut butter is my go-to for particularly on any race morning. But even a few days leading up before that, it's good to sort of, get the body into that routine of that's what you're going to eat, that's how you're going to spend your day. There was a lot of rice, a lot of white rice and chicken and vegetables, and we have to thank Gold Coast crew for putting that on for us leading in the few days before. And I've said to Trent a couple of times, we are not eating rice or chicken for a good 2-3 weeks now. just that really plain white rice, not as much protein leading into it. So the night before we had just a little bit of tofu with rice, quinoa and some really plain vegetables, no leafy greens, so sweet potatoes, I think peas and corn and those sort of higher carb foods. Definitely enjoyed a big carb loading day on the Friday, and then eased off a little bit more on the Saturday leading in. But yeah, generally breakfast was a few pieces of toast. During the week was fine to have eggs, but sort of again just weaning off the protein, getting closer to the race, sort of kept it very simple with peanut butter and lots of bananas as well.
Yeah, right. And then when you got down to the Gold Coast, how did you or maybe you could unpack all the kind of media functions and the technical meetings and all the kind of little kind of functions that you had to go to, because just following online, it's a pretty big deal, the Gold Coast Marathon, and there's a few boxes that you've got to tick before getting to the start line on the Sunday.
Yeah, certainly. It was a great experience for me. I've never had an experience like that where you are in an elite setting for not just the day before, but for the days leading into it. And there are definitely those boxes that you need to tick. So you're always available for any sort of media or any interviews, or even just to be, as you said, available for those technical meetings and those sort of things that you've got to tick off. So we got there Thursday afternoon and checked in with the staff there, and all was good, and it was fantastic. They were so organised. They gave us a rundown. They gave us our cards to say that we could access certain areas, and we knew exactly what was required of us for the next 3 days, 4 days, even after the marathon. So Friday was a bit of lunch, and then we had sort of a few interviews before the media conference. So Friday afternoon around 12:30, we had about an hour where all the elite athletes and organisers got together with the media, and we were presented with our bibs, which was exciting for me in particular to receive my bib from Benita Willis, who is just an absolutely phenomenal female or ambassador for women's running. So that was really great, and to stand up with 9 other ladies who were going to be towing the line on Sunday and that sort of thing was really exciting. And we listened to Mona and Deeks and some of the other ambassadors speak, and we watched sort of the men being presented, and then we listened to the half marathoners who were going to be running at the World Championships, which was great as well. And from there, we just had to be available for those Channel 9, Channel 7 interviews that were going to be broadcast out to the Gold Coast and wider Queensland, I guess, pre-race, which is an interesting experience, because you look back now and you wonder if you said the right thing, or if what you had planned in your head and what you said to them actually played out on the day, which luckily for me it did, but I'm sure that's not always the case. And from there it was just getting settled in again that afternoon, chatting with some of the other elite athletes. The next day on the Saturday we were required to get together again for the technical meeting, so to go through the course, the expectations, the rules and regulations and all that sort of thing, meet all the pacers such as yourself and Brad, and it was a good experience to sit there and finally check that last little thing off the list really before Sunday. And those sort of meetings are so crucial for the athletes, so that they can have those last-minute checks of what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do, where they need to be, where the start line's going to be, how they're going to get there, what's the expectation during or before, during the and after the race as well. So, it was a really great experience for me and for our team, and something we certainly benefited from leading into Sunday.
Yeah, and obviously you handled it well. Like, I can see how some people could get a bit anxious and a bit over and see that as a bit of an energy draining kind of process, but I think if you go into it, like you said, and kind of enjoy it and really try to dot every I and cross every T, it can be quite a good experience if you haven't been there before.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Brady. It's one of those things where you try to have to just relax and take it in your stride and look at it as a distraction. I mean, if I wasn't doing that, I'd probably be overthinking the race. So it was a nice distraction for me.
And the fact that there's some very handy athletes in the rooms there that you can kind of get a bit of motivation off and be inspired by as well.
Oh, totally. How cool was it to be in the same room with Kawachi and Ken Mungara? And, you know, you look at the females in the race and then you had those ambassadors there like Mona and Deeks and Benita and Troopy, and they've been through it. They've been through it a million times over. And just to get those last little bits of advice from them was great. Just chatting with Mona before I left the media conference on Friday, he said to me, oh, just be prepared for that, you know, 31 to 36 kilometre stretch when you run away from the finish line, because, you know, mentally that can just be really draining on an athlete. And it is at the part of the race where the race is technically meant to start, and, you know, you're probably starting to feel that fatigue. So for me to have that in mind was really beneficial, and I'm really grateful for his words of wisdom, because I knew that gave me just a bit of time to mentally prepare for that stretch of road, I guess.
Yeah, and good coming from Mono, like one of Australia's greatest distance runners, just giving you a bit of advice 24 hours out. Must be pretty amazing to be in that situation.
Yeah, so something I never thought I'd be doing, but yeah, truly relished the experience, and I, as I said, I'm so grateful for their advice. And they've done it a million times over. And Mona said he'd done that course 8 times. So he certainly knows it like the back of his hand. Yeah. And you're right, to get that advice is just so beneficial 24 hours out.
Yeah, let's go to the race then. So how were you feeling before in that little, you know, elite room there at the swimming pool? Everything was pretty calm and you guys had a race plan and stuff? Or how were you feeling?
Yeah, we got up around 4 o'clock and, you know, you go and have some breakfast. Up in the elite lounge that they set up for you, and everything's pretty relaxed up there. It helps that all the organisers are chilled out and just there to help you with whatever you need. So it was a case of just sort of sitting around at the hotel for a while, doing a few stretches and that sort of thing. We were shuttled to the start line around 5:45. And I mean, I was really lucky that I had Brad Croker there on the shuttle with me, and he kept everybody in good spirits, just, you know, lighthearted chit chat. And you don't really want to be overthinking your race too much by that stage. You know your plan, you've gone over it, you've spoken through it, you've sort of verbalised everything you want to do. So then it's a case, you know, you've just got to tick it off. And there's for me, I don't really like to get in the zone too early, because I find that that's just, it's just a bit of a drainer of energy for me. So when we got to the elite center, we were so lucky to have that center there to be able to warm up inside where it was nice and warm, and the half marathoners had gone. So it was just a case of a few stretches, and about an hour before went for a 10-minute jog. And kept things jovial, chatting to people, tried to sort of channel the same calmness that I felt before Melbourne. So that confidence in the training for me was really important. I knew that I'd ticked every box leading into that. I knew I'd given every session the best that I could, and that gave me great confidence leading into Sunday. So I was quite relaxed on Sunday morning, just knowing that, as I said, every box had been ticked, and all that was left to do was get from the start line to the finish line as quickly as possible. So, we sort of headed out to the start line around, it must have been about 7 o'clock, and did a few strides, listened to Deeks's big motivational speech. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I said that to Brad, though. It could be dangerous, a few people hearing that and going out way too fast the first 10K. If you, he's pretty motivating, Deke, when he gets that speech going.
Yeah, no, it's so true. He was so passionate. And when he said you're going to hurt for 42 kilometres, I thought, geez, I hope not. I hope I'm not hurting from the start. But it was a nice atmosphere at the start line, and couldn't have asked for better weather, really. So we're very lucky.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Like, I thought it might have been a bit hotter than what it was, but and I think the course kind of lends itself. That first 28K was fairly sheltered in the shade from the buildings, which, I've obviously heard a lot of people talk that the Gold Coast is too hot to run fast at, but I think I've probably changed my mind after spending 35K out there on the weekend.
Yes, and you did it certainly a lot quicker than what I did, so.
Yeah, but I didn't do the last 7K though, so it's easy for me to say what may have happened in that last 20 minutes could have been anything. But back to your race though, so Liam was the official pacemaker at 2:30 pace?
Yeah, so I mean, that's great for me to have someone there that I obviously know very well, and he knew my race plan, but at the same time he was pacing the 2:30, and we really wanted 2:30, so he had a job to stick to, and my job was basically to listen to how I was feeling. Try to go sub 2:30 was obviously the plan, but we had decided before the race that we were going to go on how we felt, or on how I felt. So regardless, he was going to run to the 2:30 mark, and what I did was up to me and how I was feeling. So that first 5K, we went spot on or just outside that 2:30 mark. So that was good to build into the race and get comfortable and not go too hard too soon. I'm generally like to, run my own race. So I won't really sit behind somebody else to dictate the pace. I like to do that myself. So I stayed within the group, but more towards the front. And just ticked along through that first 10 kilometres. Was great to see some family and Trent out on course, just cheering you on, and felt great in that aspect, and probably went a bit quicker because you sort of get excited when you see those people on the sideline that you know.
And through Surface realizing. Paradise as well. That was a bit of a trap for me. I went a bit too quick through there.
Yeah, no, it was really nice. It was sort of like, oh, this is ripping weather. We're on the Gold Coast. All the atmosphere was fantastic, and you sort of think, why hold back? But there's good reason. So, the turnaround at 15 or 15 and a half Ks was good for me, and it was just a case of working back then. I think mentally the race is a really good race mentally, I guess, because you've just got to go 15 kilometres out, you've just got to come 15 kilometres back, and then it's time to push it home. So at about 20 kilometres, I sort of indicated to some of the other guys that I was feeling good and I was going to step ahead. And I was lucky enough that a group of guys came with me then. So we left that 2:30 group and, just kept going along at a pace that was comfortable.
And was Liam still pacing then?
He was still pacing, but obviously pacing that 2:30 group. So he stayed back, and I didn't see him after the 21-kilometre mark. So, I had a good group of guys come with me. And they were probably a bit quicker than what I was ready to go. So I hung off the back of that pack till about 30 Ks, and up the hill I was able to, continue to hold on to them, which was good. I just didn't want to be left out on my own that early.
Yeah.
So at 32 kilometres, we were definitely still bunched up, and that was a point where I came past my dad and mum, and half the family were there, and Dad was nearly out on the course just cheering so hard. And I didn't look at my watch during this race, but I could sort of sense from the way that I was running and the way that Dad was cheering that we must have been on song for a good time. So I kept pushing through. I could see some of the girls ahead of me I was definitely keeping an eye on Elisabeza Toronto and Takanashi as well. Noguchi's wife, I guess. In third and fourth. It was one of those things where I knew exactly where I was in the race. I sort of knew I was around eighth or ninth, and from sort of the 15-kilometre, between 15 and 20 kilometres, we were slowly catching girls who were dropping off, I guess, your pace that you set. so we, just slowly one by one were reeling them in and passing them. And it wasn't until the 36-kilometre mark that I got that I caught up to Elisabeza Toronto. And, you know, full credit to her. She wanted to do a 2:28 and she just held on to me. I thought, I'm going to pass her convincingly and keep going. But no, she had some fight in her and she just sat on the back of me. And again, we ran through together till 38 kilometres and then she took the lead. And I slowly just sort of worked my way back and we went across the 40-kilometre timer together. And at that stage, you sort of know that, you know, you definitely know you're going to make it. There's no doubt about that. You always knew you'd make it. But it is a hard stretch, I guess, even after the turnaround, because there's not many people around in that area between 36 and 40 kilometres. You've really got to grind that out and use the people around you to keep pushing through. So for me, I just knew just keep consistent, just keep pushing, and we'll get there. And we went past 40 kilometres and that was when I decided I really need to try and get a gap on Elisabeza, because I knew that she had a 31-minute 10-kilometre time. So I knew she had kick. I knew she had it in the tank. And I probably got about 20 metres on her, which sadly in the end at 300, it just was not enough. And all of a sudden she just whooshed past me, absolutely 250 metres to go. She flew past me and I think in that 250 metres she managed to get, she managed to make up 10 seconds in that time. So she absolutely flew. She caught the guys in front of us and managed to low 2:29. And I was certainly giving it everything I had. And I mean, I'm not, I'd love to have not been passed in that last 250 and I'd love to have come in fourth, but I knew I'd given it absolutely everything. And I'm so, so pleased with how the race turned out. And crossing the line and seeing that 2:29, I mean, 100 metres to go, I could see high 2:28 and you push as hard as you can to try and to try and beat that clock. But it did tick over 2:29 to 2:29:12. And
you had no indication of time until that last 100 metres though?
Nah, no idea. So for me to see 2:28 at high 2:28, that was just even more motivating because I knew we were going sub 2:30 and I knew that we'd done it convincingly. So, yeah, I guess when I've seen footage now of me crossing the line and I know how I felt and how excited I still am about it. Yeah, it was, some people thought I was really surprised. I wasn't surprised. We were confident that we could do that. But it just felt so good to actually do it because you know you want to do it, you know it's within you, but it's easier said than done, I guess.
Yeah, but even your splits were so even. I just looked at your 5Ks before we started recording, but halfway you were 74.16 and then you come home in 74.55. So no watch and you slowed 39 seconds. Like, it's pretty amazing that you're so in tune with your body at that pace.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's how I've trained or we've trained to run to how we feel. And that helped, I guess, for me individually, that helps me get the most out of myself. If I'm not looking at my watch, sometimes I think I'm going slower than I am and I just push that bit harder. And it's more of a mental thing than a physical thing. You can, if you have those positive thoughts, if you have yourself in the right mental state, the body can just take over and do what you've done in training, essentially. So I guess that's where I was so used to it. There was a stage, I think between 35 and 40, where we dropped off a bit.
Four seconds a K, not much though. Like, it was pretty, I think you ran 21 seconds slower than the 5K beforehand. So it's not a huge hit in the wall kind of drop off.
No. And definitely, once you get round that corner, I mean, that's a huge stretch, that last 1800. You turn the corner onto the bridge and, yeah, it's about 1.8 kilometres down a straight, and you can see that turn off for so long, and you know, you just think back to your training and you know when you've put in, you know, 7 or 8 minute efforts and how hard you've gone for that. You just have to put the blinkers on and really just focus on getting your body to that point. And you know, trying to hold off or some of those other runners and hunt down the ones in front of you. But I'm really pleased with that second half of the race, considering, yeah, it wasn't too much of a drop off.
Yeah, and what did you do for race day nutrition? Gels or drinks, or do you want to maybe explain that? I'm sure there's a few people listening thinking they've got marathons coming up, and if it's worked for you, it could probably work for them as well.
So in terms of during the race, I took, in those first sort of 20 kilometres, I took a few sugar tabs, so really low fructose sugar tabs, because I'm intolerant to that as well, and just made sure that I was really well hydrated. I was very aware that it could get hot, and I wasn't prepared to be dehydrated late in the race, so any drink station I would pick up a cup or I'd pick up a bottle and just take a sip or two and throw it away, so the body always had a bit of energy in there and was always well hydrated. Before the race I took a gel, and probably about 20 minutes before we took off, and then the 3 or 4 sugar tabs in the first 20 kilometers, and then after that I had gels and electrolytes mixed at each drink, at each station, 20, 25, 30, 35 and 40, and it was just a case of getting some gels in at each station, not necessarily the whole lot, but now at 20Ks and now I just got to get to 25 and I'll do that again and that sort of thing. So that was basically the nutrition plan that I went with, and it worked for me. So, yeah.
Awesome stuff. Hey, now you're number 9 all time on the Australian females marathon list, which must be pretty satisfying, knowing that you're top 10 of all time in a country. Like, it's pretty amazing when you start thinking of it like that.
Yeah, I am. Well, you say that and I've just got a big grin on my face. I'm so stoked with that. I really can't believe it. It is really, really humbling and really nice to be included with such an elite bunch of women who have done some phenomenal times. And look, I'm so grateful to have been able to do what I did on Sunday, and as I said, be only the 9th Australian woman to have gone under 2:30 it's really exciting for us, I guess, because just being 27, you never know what can happen, but hopefully with years more training we can lower that and I guess climb higher up that list and aim for some of those times that other women have posted. But I guess we'll just do what we can control, and if that's a case we get to move up that list, that'd be really nice. But to be included at the moment, that's really exciting when I heard that news.
Yeah, and I guess going forward, like at the moment, you're kind of third on that list behind Lisa with her 2:25 and Jess with her 2:27 and 2:29.14 going into Gold Coast Marathon, Gold Coast Com Games, hopefully a qualifier. What's your thoughts there with Millie still yet to run?
It's so exciting to be in the mix for that, and to be genuinely right up there is great. But we are aware that Millie and Jess and Sinead are still going to run at London, and they'll do fantastic times. They're such quality runners, and Millie's got a PB just a few seconds faster than what I did on Sunday. So I'm sure she's put in a huge block of training, and she'd be ready after her experience in Rio to really lower that time as well. So I guess for us going forward, we are going to have to sit down and plan to do perhaps another marathon before the end of the year, and hope to lower our time again for the Comm Games, because I think realistically that's going to have to be the plan if we want to make it back to the Gold Coast in April.
Yeah, and although it's, you know, a bit, I guess, you know, someone's going to miss out because there's only three spots, or probably more than one person's going to miss out because there's only three spots, but the competition can only be a good thing, and it just seems that female marathon running is just so strong at the moment.
Oh, I completely agree, Brady. It's so exciting to think that nine women in Australia have gone under 2:30 ever, and four of them are running, current runners, are currently in the competition, are going for, every one of those three spots. And as you said, it's a good and a bad time to be in the sport, you know. But it really is more a positive thing that you have to push yourself and you have to really earn that spot on the team, and it'd be more satisfying to know that you did earn your spot and you do deserve to be there. I think there's so many people willing to put in the work, and I know we are willing to put in the work to do whatever it takes to get there in April. And it's not just myself, Jess, Millie, and Lisa. It's we've got Cassie Feehan and we've got Sinead Diver sitting right there, and I mean Celia Sullivan did a great time on Sunday as well. So there are people right on the cusp of breaking 2:30 as well, which is really exciting for women's marathon.
Yeah, and I think it's good, you know, you've kind of come out and made that 5 minute 13 second kind of jump as well, so it kind of gives everyone else a bit of a a bit of belief that it can be done. Like, you're a bit of a trailblazer that's done it off a smaller preparation and haven't been around for as many years as Jess and Lisa, so it must be inspiring for those other girls as well.
Well, thanks, Brady. I hope so. It is. I guess we have shown that it is possible, and it's only going to be harder to keep slashing the time off the PB. But as you know, if we've done it once before, there's no reason why we can't keep lowering that time, and there's no reason why other girls, who have posted times can't take a few minutes off themselves. It really depends on the individual, their training, and the perfect day come marathon day.
Yeah, and you pulled up well, Virginia?
Yeah, I have actually. I'm really pleased with how I've pulled up, feeling really good, touch wood, you know.
Yeah.
We're still going to be conservative in our recovery. It's not worth risking going out and getting straight back into it too soon. So we'll build up. No, we're starting to build up slowly again now, which will be good. We'll enjoy a week or two of the lower kilometres before we get back into things.
Yeah, and so no Sandown relays or Albert Park 10K in the next 2 weeks?
Look, shattering that the first time since I started running 3 years ago that I'm going to miss an AV event, which is bit different for me. So yeah, good luck to everyone who's out there running Sandown. I love running Sandown. Nice two laps on the speedy track, but no, definitely not tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we'll wait and see about Albert Park. It might be a case of we'll just see how we feel. I can't imagine that we'll race it hard. It'll be more of a case of making our mind up closer to the date, just to get some points up for the Collingwood Harriers as well.
Yeah, for sure. And last question, I'm sure you got a whole lot of people you want to thank, but how was the support out there on the course? You kind of touched on having a bit of family up there, but anyone you want to thank or kind of a bit of a shout out to for supporting your journey so far?
Yeah, thank you. That'd be really good. Obviously, my family, being my immediate family and extended family, were up there, and if they weren't, they were certainly chewing up the internet wherever they were around Australia, like with the live stream. I can't thank them enough for their constant support. Obviously, Liam and his wife Rach and his family and extended family, their support for me has been phenomenal leading up to this, right from the start and at each and every training session and event. Obviously, Trent has been a huge part of all this, and for him on Sunday to be able to get from point to point on the bike and weave through the crowds and that sort of thing was just phenomenal, and to see him at the finish was just great to be able to celebrate together. Sophie Ryan has been a huge part of my training. Ant Rickards, I caught up with him the day before. He completed his 10th Gold Coast Marathon on Sunday, and he's just a wealth of knowledge and has been so supportive to me throughout. So the Vigor Health and Fitness crew, or the Vigor Running crew, totally appreciate all their support, the ones who are up there, the ones on the text and the messenger and all that sort of thing as well. And I do have to really thank the organisers at Gold Coast, and the ones, Ryan McDonald and Richard Welsh and Adele and Cam Hart, and those who just looked after us so well and made sure that we were so comfortable. And then I guess lastly, the crew from the southwest of Victoria who were up there, and I'm running through the streets and people are calling out my name and referencing Garvok, which was which was really nice for me. It was, I could pick some of the voices of my neighbours as well. So that was really cool. And I guess I do have to thank as well Jess Trengove, who we were able to catch up leading into the race, and she gave me some great advice on how to manage things, and just her chatted through her experiences with me as well. So I really value that, the advice that was given to me.
Yeah, so good. So good. All those people got up there from country Victoria, and then all of a sudden they're on the streets of the Gold Coast cheering you on. It's just amazing. And even when we pulled out at 35K, Trent was just a couple of hundred metres away. So just talking to him on the bike, and you could almost see a bit of anxiety on his face. Like, there's nothing you can really do as the boyfriend on the bike who's watching the race. But, and he knew that you're on for probably an amazing time at 35K there. And it's an interesting situation to be in where you can't control it, but you've just got to sit back and watch it happen.
Yeah, no, I think it was different for him this time around, because he said he was very relaxed at Melbourne because he knew how far ahead I was in terms of going for the win. But on Sunday, I think, he doesn't get anxious or stressed very often, but I think there was just a little bit of nervousness there and more excitement as well that we were going to do it. So, as I said, I can't thank him enough, and he was awesome leading up to it, awesome during the day, and I guess he's still all right.
Yeah, that's good. Now he's taking you to Sydney, isn't he?
Yeah, now we're heading off to Sydney on Sunday, so I can't complain.
Trotting all over the country.
Yeah.
Thanks, Virginia, for your time. I'm sure the listeners will get a stack out of that recount, and I guess all the best going forward with the, that striving towards that Gold Coast Commonwealth Games 2018 spot.
Yeah, thanks very much, Brady. I appreciate it.
And I'll see you around the race on the AV season, I'm hoping. And, thanks for your time. And it's always good following the journey of people when they may be a bit of an underdog, but then they kind of make it and break through. So it's kind of, it's cool.
Thank you. Thanks. Really appreciate it. And good luck with all your running as well.
No worries, Virginia. Thanks for your time again.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
See ya.
Like there's nowhere to go. My heart beats slow where the
There we go. How was that? I hope you enjoyed it. Got some kind of value out of that episode with Virginia Maloney. I certainly did. I love all that talking splits and nutrition and pre-race feelings and all that kind of stuff, especially geared towards the marathon. It really, it brings value to my life, and it's been very interesting and, yeah, really enjoyable to see Virginia progress, I guess, even since we did the first podcast interview with her. And if you enjoyed that as much as I did recording it, be sure to let her know on all the socials. I'm friends of her on Facebook, and her Facebook has just been going off its chops the last week with people tagging her and congratulating her in all kinds of newspaper articles and photos and video footage and stuff like that of the Gold Coast Marathon. And so they should. She did an amazing job finishing in the time she finished in. Anyway, that's enough from me this week. I'll talk to you again next week. Enjoy the rest of your week, day, whatever's going on. Cheers.
Fundamental principle in Buddhism is no purpose, purposelessness. When you drop fart, you don't say, at 9 o'clock I drop fart. It will happen of itself. You know, and all these pious Western devotees, you know, kind of put their handkerchiefs in their mouths and try not to laugh.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.